is Father's Day, as was already been mentioned. And so I want to share just briefly in some areas of Scripture and see where we go with this. We had shared about the coming of the Holy Spirit last Sunday, and that was the Sunday of Pentecost. Today it's Father's Day. And even looking at this event, we will find that the Holy Spirit helps with this as well. Amen? So we're going to look at some scriptures there in a little bit. But before we get to that point, looking at the word Father, I'm going to first go, and if you want to maybe turn into Psalms 68, Psalms 68, 5, it talks there, David. Psalms 68, 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, in God and his holy habitation. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God and his holy habitation. So when we look at this word father, it's a very simple word. Ab is the Hebrew, or what we would find, I guess, in the understanding of the Strong's. It's a very simple word. It's supposed to be one of the first words that a baby can speak. That's interesting, huh? One of the first words that a baby can speak. Ab. 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 Anybody had a baby recently? I know most of my grandkids call me Papa, 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 Papa. Even when our daughters will try to, one in particular, say, no, call him Grandpa. And she'll look at him and go, Papa. Grandpa, Papa. So as many grandpas as my daughters got, my granddaughters got, Papa. I said, hey, just let them call me. That's fine. The Aramaic form of this is Abba, which has become common in modern Hebrew as the word that the Israel children use for daddy. We hear at times where we talk about, oh, daddy, my daddy in heaven, Abba. Jesus applied this toddler's word to his divine father. We'll follow into that in just a little bit. The Holy Spirit teaches us to call God Abba, daddy, father. Now, sometimes this does not mean a physical father so much as it does an architect, a builder, a creator, and the one who causes something to be. Well, we know God the Father, Abba Father, created the earth, created the universe, amen? What a creator. But also we got to understand, hence a father could also be that of evil, someone who produces evil. Now, Jesus describes Satan as the what of lies? The father of lies. So Ab as a creator and a producer is applied to the Lord Jesus, the everlasting Father, or more literally, the Father of eternity. So interesting in God's Word, we find Father. We find also, you know, Jesus is talking about the devil is the father of all lies. Remember, Father could be a producer of something, a creator of something. And so what that tells me is that the devil can create lies and produces lies and likes to fabricate lies to share with those of us that are willing to give him an ear to hear. And it's like, which father are we listening to? Amen? Are we listening to Abba Father, Heavenly Father, the one that Jesus talked about in Matthew, the first point of how to pray, our Father, which art, or who art and where? Heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy is your name. So we got to make sure who we are addressing as Father, even in our spiritual times, because Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, you know. So here we are. In Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, the concern for those that didn't have an earthly world father to take care of these. God's heart is for the weak. God's heart is looking for those that maybe have a need. And many times, and we find it more so today, but it's probably been the same. We just, because we're living today, it always seems like it's more advantageous of today. But we find that there are a lot of fatherless children out there in society. We got to try to continue to keep this message going forth that God is the father of the fatherless. For the widows that are out there that have no one to take care of them, God is that father that is concerned for them as well. Mark 14:36. I'm going to jump to Mark 14:36. I've got everything here marked right. And we find here in Mark 14:36, the prayer in the garden. We understand, we recount and recall this prayer that he had when he came into the garden. Talked to his disciples and said, here while I go in and pray. And then he comes back to them. But then here he is. He falls on the ground and he prays that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. In Mark 14:36, and he says this, Abba, Father, Daddy, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Jesus was not looking forward to going through that pain and what was going to come about. He would truly like for his Abba Father. And he already said, all things are possible with you. Would you take this from me so that I don't have to endure it? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And this is where we come to find this point of understanding of God the Father, that we all have desires and wants and needs, the things that we would like to talk to him about. And we would like for him to kind of agree with our solution to things and what we would like for things to come out as. But as we use Jesus as our role model and we're replicating him in our life and following him, however we want to look at it, even in our lives today, we've got to understand that God the Father has our best interest at hand, right? We may not understand it in the heat of the battle and what we're going to go through or what we're going through currently, but we've got to have a trust and we've got to have a faith and we've got to have a hope that my God, the creator of everything, the creator of the universe, that puts the very planets into existence, that put everything into the proper degree of tilt and rotation and so far from the sun and the moon and all of the gravitational pulls, that everything has been done so precisely. And you've heard of this, haven't you? That, you know, if the earth were tilted just a degree one way or the other, or a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. To a little bit further from it, we would all freeze. I mean, everything was just precisely put as what needed to be to sustain what God wanted to produce and have. We've got to look at that and believe that's the same thing for my life. You know, he's not creating a universe in Tim, but I realize he's created Tim, and he's put me here for this cosmic time, or this time in the span of where we're at in time, for a plan and a purpose for his kingdom. Now the thing is, do you believe that about yourself? Do you look at yourself and say, I am here for a planned purpose of my Creator? And if I'm here for that planned purpose, I've got to be and follow what my Jesus said, not my will, God, but your will, Abba, Father. We had wonderful talk in Sunday school of reminiscing and remembering of our fathers. And some were good, and some were so bad, and even those that maybe had some rough times and whatever, they did say that there were good things as well. And so even in a setting of, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 people, we could go around and each one of us had a different type of a father that we all had. And for the most part, they loved us. And they cared for us. We found that many of them toiled in maybe jobs that they didn't really like and they despised, but they went day in and day out to that place because they had a family. And it was probably ingrained into them that you, as a man, provide for the family. You, as the man, you go out and you work and do what you need to do to sustain the family. And those fathers said, even if I don't like what I'm doing, I got to do it. And many of those back in those days, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, they endured something to the point of such a distasteful thing in their mouth, but yet they went out and they did it because they were producing and providing for their family. We found out sometimes that doesn't always make for a happy dad, does it? You know? And now as kids in our ages, we can look back at that thinking, I can kind of understand why now. Why dad wasn't always happy-go-lucky and fun all the time, because he had a lot on his shoulders. He was dealing with a lot of things that I didn't even know he was dealing with because I was 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years of age. I remember as I was growing up, I'm sure we had hard times, but I don't recall them. I don't know if it's just something that was, you know, protected from me. Later on in life, I remember as my dad would talk and share, and we would discuss things of whatever, you know, of just society and jobs and families and hardships. That I remember stories being told that, oh yeah, my dad would say, you know, we couldn't afford to have a whole bunch of coal dropped into the coal bin at the house. Those days, we would go and buy a bucket of coal or two every few days by what we could scrounge up or have the money to go buy the coal to keep things warm in the house. Does Tim remember that? No. Do I remember being cold? No. Really, that happened, Dad? Yeah. You know, our parents, our fathers, as it's Father's Day, we realize that many times they sacrificed for the good of us. Wow. God sacrificed for the good of us with Jesus, for he so loved us that he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to die for you today. I even remember when things, well, were just a tad rough. Oh my gosh, my dad went on strike. What's going to happen? You know? You get $25 a week strike pay. That goes a long ways, you know. But I do remember going with him one time and to the Union Hall up in this community outside of St. Louis on the Illinois side, and some kind of a meeting hall for machinists. And we left there, and we went to a hardware store or a bike store or something that had bikes and whatnot. And I remember my dad, even though we just came from that, and he ended up, two things he bought me was like a banana seat. Anybody remember those? The banana seat for the bike and monkey handlebars. You know, monkey handlebars on a banana seat. I was standing in tall cotton, man. I had a bike that I was modifying to put those handlebars on in that banana seat. That's what I was going to be doing, you know. But here again, it was like, during, I do remember it was during the time my father was on strike. Finances were tight, but yet he spent a few dollars on me. Man, I thought, what a great dad, you know. Now, as we were buying it, my mind, being a kid, I wasn't too concerned. Like, well, am I taking food off the table, Dad, with this banana seat? You know, I wasn't concerned with that. I was getting something. But my dad, being a mechanic and a pretty well a jack of all trades, he could do side jobs and things like that, and working on cars and putting cars together and whatnot. He liked to do that. I just have all kinds of stories of that, but some that I would not want to go there. Dad, there's no way I'm going to go home driving in a hearse. As much as you want to think you could buy that hearse and fix it up, I don't know what for, you know. Back in those days, it just was not a popular thing that I was concerned with, you know, that I wanted to be seen driving in a hearse. So he didn't get that, but he got some other vehicle. But as we reflected on our fathers and the good and the bad, and even in the bad, we end up drawing out the good. I think it's those understandings of things, because now, as most of us here, we've kind of gone through the childbearing and the child-rearing ages and things of that nature. But, you know, we can look back and understand when you've got a family that you're supporting and taking care of and things, there's a lot of pressure there, isn't there? You know, these kids, they take a lot, but they're wonderful to have. But as we look at our earthly surroundings of fathers, we've got to be careful that we don't let it mar or skew what God the Father in heaven says about who he is. And we've got to realize, and I want to share to you today, that God, the Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, loves you to the point that he loves you. There's really not much more you can do. He loves you. And we all should desire to come back or reconcile ourselves back to him through that of Jesus Christ as our Lord. But that's another story there. But he loved us so much, he did send Jesus to die for us. My goodness. No greater love is that than a man to lay down his life for those. No greater love that Jesus had than to lay down his life for us. Obeying the Father was very important to Jesus. Obedience is the response of faith to any instruction from God. As God gives us instruction today, gives you instruction today, how do we receive that instruction? Could be that of the Holy Spirit putting it in you. It could be by reading his word, and something that you read settles into your spirit to the point of, that is good, or that's something that I should do, or that's, Lord, is that what you're wanting me to do? Are you wanting me to do this or do that or not do this, or I should give this up, or what is it, Lord? Obedience is the response of faith to any instruction from God. Jesus taught that true faith will always be manifested in obedience to God's revealed will. Successful Christian living results from seeking and knowing God's will and then doing it in faith. As we seek his will and find out his will for us, when we find out, sometimes it's hard to understand, it's hard to even accomplish. But it's those times that we ask him to give us that strength, Lord. Oh, Lord, if it's going to please you, Lord, give me that ability, give me that strength, give me the fortitude, whatever it is, Lord, in me to honor you and to please you. And you'll say, well, Tim, to do that, you need to give this up. Or to do that, stop doing this. Or to do that, apply this to your life. Then it's like, oh, okay. Uh-oh. Now I've got to be obedient to my Abba Father and follow his instruction. Just like our earthly dads would give us instruction, and usually you'd want to follow his earthly instructions, because if not, what happened? You know, we heard of some stories of corrections being done, you know, and that's probably something that really needs to be done today for some of our kids, is there's something about, you know, using the rod of correction to correct the children, spare the rod, spoil the child. We've got a lot of spoiled kids out there today, and they're just getting they're getting spoiled even more and more as we go. But you can't begin to correct them at 10, 11, and 12, and 13. You know, the correction period of time is over. You know, to train and teach a child and raise them as they should be begins at 6 months. 1 year, a year and a half, you know. Have you been corrected by God the Father? I don't know. Yes. I know some are shaking their head. Yeah. I've been corrected. But I've had, again, the response that when I've been corrected by Abba Father, my Heavenly Father, it's been good. It's been kind. I've never had him pull down and just slap me, you know, wipe me off the face of the earth because I've done something bad that I should be corrected. He always comes and he corrects, and has corrected in love. Love. It would remind me of the times that we would have to maybe, you know, spank the kids, and I would have to spank them, but we would always, after that fact, take them and hug that to the hug them and say, I love you. And I'm sorry that you have made me have to do this. But it's for your good. Now, come on. Put yourself in the kid's time. The kid's saying, what do you mean it hurts you more than it hurts you more than it hurts me? I'm the one getting whipped, you know? That's the kid's thought. But as a loving parent, it does something to you when you have to correct. And you have to maybe lay a hand on the butt, okay? I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but I've always asked my Heavenly Father to correct me when I needed to be corrected. I would rather have him correct me and set my feet back on the right path than to go through a majority of my life on the wrong path and then meet him when that day comes, whenever it is, and that I'm so far off base that I'm not where I think I am. And it gets to the point to where, I knew you not. Well, wait a minute. What about this and what about that? And he would say, but what about that time when you strayed and I tried to correct you and put you back on the path that I had for you and you didn't? And so I want to be sensitive to him, and I think our kids are sensitive to the... I felt my kids were sensitive to us as their parents, you know? And I'm believing that my Heavenly Father is sensitive to me and he loves me. But he wants me to do right. He wants me to do the correct thing, okay, at the right time. But it takes a lot of learning and growing and developing and reading and meditating and praying and trusting and being obedient. And as what Jesus said, Lord, take this from me if you can, but if not, let your will be done in me. Isn't it going to be wonderful to where we reach that day and we get to that point to where my life has been fulfilled by doing the will of my Heavenly Father? And us to do that will of the Heavenly Father will give you a good life. Do you believe that? A lot of the world thinks when you come to God, when you receive Christ, when you change your life, when you get yourself out of the muck and mire of this world, they think you're going to have a terrible life. You're not going to have a fun life. Oh, what's the use? I'm thinking like, what's the use of staying in the world and having a very terrible life and being in the muck and the mire of what's taking place in the world? You find joy in that? You find joy in having to deal with the stress and the aggravation and the anxiety and all these things that this life is about? Nothing in God's Word says, serve me and you will have high anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of anger, a lot of whatever. No. Uh-oh. Those are from the father of lies. The devil. As God had said one time, serve or choose this day who you will serve. I am going to serve God the Father, Abba Father, in heaven. Because I am not going to serve the father of this world or the devil that's full of lies, that distorts the truth, that makes up things just to sidetrack us or sidetrack me. Obedience is the response of faith to any instruction from God. What has God recently asked of you? Think about that. As long as you're on this side of heaven, God is still talking to you, and you have still got something to do. And I don't care how old you are, you have got something to do for God. And it's a benefit for you to complete that. Now, remember we had talked last week, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. Jesus says, go in the upper room and wait. And so they went and they waited. In Romans 8:15, I want to read a little bit of Romans here. I'm going to just start in 12. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It describes the lifestyle of those who are sons of God. Paul is giving encouragement not to live according to the flesh, but to put to death the deeds of the body. Therefore, being led by the Spirit of God involves progressively putting to death the sinful appetites of the lower nature. This implies that while all Christians are in some general sense being led by the Spirit of God, these are footnotes here, there are increasing degrees of being led by the Spirit. The more fully people are led by the Holy Spirit, the more completely will they be obedient to God and be conformed to His standards. That's why it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and not just a little bit, but to actually daily ask Him to top you off with the Holy Spirit, if that's the case. Fill me up, Lord! Fill it up till overflowing! You know, let it just pour out of me. Let it be drenched and soaking at my feet. Now, going on, it says here, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. You know, in our time back in Sunday school, we had a lot of good conversations. And the one thing I appreciated, one shared about their life, and they were adopted at an early age. Never knew the father or the parents, but they were adopted at an early age, and it was the best thing. They loved it. They had a great life. And so that person can really, I see, really understand the understanding of when you say you're adopted. You know, sometimes we hear that story of, oh, you're adopted. I'm so sorry to hear that you didn't have, you know, your birth parents and around. But some of those kids have led the best of life, and the saying goes forth, you know, you were adopted. Somebody chose you. A mother and a father, they wanted you in their home. The rest of us, we just got dropped in. Here we are. Take us or leave us. You know, well, some parents left us, and some took us, and some, you know, took good care of us, and others were like, rah, you know. But to think of that, wow. They saw someone, and they said, we'll take him and him or her and him and into our family. We'll adopt them. Well, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, we've been adopted into the family. Amen. The Spirit Himself, here's where it's at. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We're part of the family. We're going to be glorified with Him, and I tell you, there will be persecutions with Him. It's all part of the family dynamics, okay? But we find that the Spirit Himself bears witness. So here we are, we're talking about being received in the Spirit, not receiving that spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption. Romans 8:16, we finished it there where it says that the Spirit bears witness with that. And I think as we go through our Christian life, we find these things that as we are actively with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is actively in us and working in us and alive in us, we begin to receive these revelations of things in our life, and we come to find out that it's good, amen? The things of God are good, and He has good things for us. Thank you, Lord. And so as we look at these days of Father's Day, and we look at some worldly ways of fathers, if you had a great one, praise God for that. If you had a rough one, I'm sorry for that, but you've learned something, and we've all been byproducts of these things, and we don't know what they've gone through in their life, but we, today in our lives, can make a difference. We don't have to continue on in that same mold of what our earthly father was like. We can be changed, amen, from where we were at into something that we want to exhibit that of God the Father. And we want to show that love and that compassion to those of our children and to our grandchildren. And goodness, I was talking to somebody who, I don't know, now yesterday or something, one of my kids, and I'm thinking, well, let's see. I'm at this age of ripe old age coming up on 63, and looking at our oldest granddaughter, do the tabulations, and hopefully it's way out there. But I'm going, gee, I'm probably not going to be a great grandfather or a great papa until, you know, I'm like mid-70s. I guess that's okay. Well, it better be okay. I'd rather have that than the other. But it's crazy how you start thinking of that. Now I'm thinking like, you know, it was when I got to be a grandfather, cool, you know, after that age hit, and then it's like, keep them coming, you know. Take them home, take them home. But then you start thinking like, wow, one of these days I'll be a great-grandfather. Now, I would ask probably some of my grandkids now, probably already think I'm a great-grandfather, you know. Oh, Papa, you're great. You know, these kids are a blessing. They really know how to build you up. And then they say, can you take us out for French fries? Can you take us out for ice cream? Well, sure, here we are. But, you know, we start looking at what we are leaving behind and those things, and it's an amazing thing that life has. And wherever we're at in this life, the one thing we've got to always remember is there is someone that loves us to the point of just loves us, and that's God the Father. No matter what we've messed up in life, didn't fully complete or do, if we can just go back and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I want to serve you in a better way. And that He'll be there to do that forgiveness. And so today, I hope as, you know, your father is still alive, call him and wish him well. And if not, you know, nowadays they don't call anymore. We just text, which is kind of good because you can text wherever you're at and just have it sent out and it'll be done. But sometimes calling and talking. You know, my father's been gone now for 24 years my father's been, 23 years my father's been gone. And that was pretty hard. But I didn't know when I was growing up, I never wanted to lose my father like most of us, you know. I don't want to lose my parents, but we know those days come. But the times that those things did come, I was really setting good with God the Father, and He was my Heavenly Father, and He really got me through those losses of my earthly mom and dad. And even though I had tears and this, that, and the other, and it was very sorrowful, which it should be really, I always felt strength and peace because God was my Father. And I would always pray, Lord, give me the strength, even through the times of my dad's funeral and different things. Just hold me up, Lord. Keep me strong. Help me get through this. And He did. And so we are blessed to have a wonderful earthly father and triply blessed to have a wonderful godly father. Amen. And so as our needs come and go and as our needs change, we can just reach out to Him by faith and knowing that he's my Abba, my Daddy, my Heavenly Father, and how much he loves me. So find that love today in your walk somewhere. Amen? Let's close. Father, as this is a Father's Day Sunday, we thank you for so much. And I thank you, Lord, that you have been there from the beginning. Even before I really came to understand you and become closer to you, you were there in my corner. And you were waiting for me. And when I took that time and really become serious with you, Father, you were there with arms wide open. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you all these years now, Lord, that you have strengthened me, helped me, comforted me, loved me. You loved me unconditional. And I've loved you, Father. I pray right here today, Lord, that each one here has that some ways of an understanding of that as I've shared. And if not, I would pray, Lord, for those that find a void in that area of their life, that they would find you as their heavenly Father, and that whatever they missed in the earthly realm of a Father, that you would fill that void into a time, Lord, that they just feel that love, that joy. Oh, Father. Because, Lord, I know several or many go through a rough life. And I pray that you would soften that and kind of insulate that from their life and just let them find it in you now. And I thank you for that. Father, touch each heart here today as a heavenly Father. Show your love in a way that they can understand, in a way that they can grasp, and that they know it is you. And that they don't have to fear you, because you're a loving Father. Lord, go with us this day and be with us. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit, just place that within us, Lord, that affirmation. Yes, Lord. We thank you now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.